الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله الأماني، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, it's no secret that the next week or so and the next few days are from among the most challenging days of the year. On one hand, people throughout the globe look forward to the year-end parties and the Christmas festivities, etc. But on the other hand, respected friends and elders, for a believer, for a mu'min, a person who is concerned of his iman, then these are some of the most challenging days. Over the next week or so, respected friends and elders, in reality and in essence, what's going to happen? People throughout the globe are going to compete how to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Because the competition is all about having the best party, having the best bash, having the most amount of fun. And unfortunately, the concept of fun in the dunya today, the concept of fun in the dunya today is synonymous to sin, vice, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in competing to have the best holiday, or the best party, or the best bash, and the most amount of fun, in essence, people are actually competing how to outdo each other in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers and as Muslims, we are taught to compete with each other in the obedience of Allah. This is the total opposite, respected friends and elders, to the dictates of our iman. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Jannah and the path of Jannah and those pathways that will lead a person to Jannah and those deeds that are the means of a person entering Jannah. And Allah speaks about those pathways, those causes and means of a person going to Jahannam. There's no road in between, respected friends and elders. What I'm trying to say is that if a person does not save himself from those things, then automatically he has taken the path of Jahannam. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah says, as for those people who disobey, those who commit tughyani, those who transgress the bounds and the limits put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And they are people who have preferred the worldly life. Preferred the worldly life in which way? In other words, all the attractions of the world, all the embellishments, all the merrymaking, all the fun, the sin, the vice that takes place on earth, they prefer that. If he has taken that path, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then Jahannam is that person's abode. He will end up in Jahannam. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. But as for that person who feared standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when these opportunities came in front of him, he remembered that he's going to go back to Allah. He has to answer for his deeds. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. He feared standing in front of his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he stopped himself and he held himself back. He restrained himself from following his desires. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. For that person, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. For him, his abode is Jannah. He has taken the path of Jannah. Speaking about the following of desires, respected friends and elders, Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah mentions, and he mentions so beautifully, مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ وَلِلْبَلَاءِ عَلَامَةٌ. It's a sign of a very great calamity upon you. أَلَّا يُرَى لَكَ عَنْ هَوَاكَ نُزُوعُ. That there is no end in sight for your desires. Whatever you desire, you are doing. Whatever is your hawa and your desire, you are following. And there's no end to that. This is a sign of great calamity going to befall you. العبد عبد النفس في شهواتها. And then he rephrases it for us, that a person like this, who gives in to every dictate of his nafs, to every desire that he has, he is actually a person who is a slave. A slave is a man who has been enslaved by his nafs and his shahawat and desires. Al-abdu abdun nafsi fi shahawatiha. And who is a true person? Who is a free man? Wal-hurru yashba'u marratan wa yaju'u. The free person is able, sometimes he eats to his fill, and sometimes he has this amount of control over himself that he can skip a meal also, he can stay hungry also. In other words, a person who maybe sometimes falls into sin, but on other occasions he is able to restrain himself. He is able to go hungry, empty stomach so to say. He is able to restrain himself. This is a sign of true freedom. This is a sign of freedom, respected friends and elders. In the name of democracy in the world today, we have been fooled. Like in so many other ways, people have been fooled, respected friends and elders. We are not free as long as we remain the slaves of our nafs and our desires. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the path of Jannah is for that person, نَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He held himself back from his desires. He never gave in to every dictate, to every opportunity of sin and haram, respected friends and elders. But sad to note that when these days come, then unfortunately many of us lose ourselves. Some people innocently, some people intentionally, daringly, disobeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many a person lost his haya on nights like these. So many a person lost his chastity on nights like these. So many of them ended up drunk, Muslims as drunk on the next morning. So many of them ended up in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best how many may have even lost their iman. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith of Muslim Sharif, time will come when fitna will be so bad. In the evening the man was a believer, but by the morning he would have lost his iman. This is the type of fitnas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to. When a man loses himself completely. If I had to give you an example, and if I had to mention that at the beginning of Dhul Hijjah, there was a person by the name of John and his wife Jane. They went to a particular farm and they purchased a nice sheep for Qurbani. And then they took delivery also a few days later. So about 3-4 days before Qurbani, the sheep was delivered to their home. They kept it in the backyard. They cared for it. The children used to feed it, play with it. On the morning of Bakri Eid, they also go down and like a ceremony, they all come around that animal. And the animal is put down and then they slaughter that animal also. And whilst they're busy skinning, etc., then they realize the time that it's now coming close to 10 a.m. Happened to be a Sunday, that day of Eid. So they rush back into the house, they all have a shower, wash themselves, change their clothes, and now they are heading to the church. If I had to mention this to you, you would definitely question it. That what is this Mawlana saying? Are these people Muslims or are they non-Muslims? Is he John or Junaid? Is his wife Jane or Jamila? It sounds odd to us, respected friends and elders. And yes, it is odd and peculiar, because it doesn't happen. But if I had to tell you there was a Muhammad and a Ahmad and a Sulaiman, a Junaid and a Jamila, and a Aisha and a Fatima, who were taking part in some Christmas party, who were there for some New Year's bash, who were there losing themselves on the night of vice and sin and zina, then we believe it because it's become so normal. How come that is not peculiar? How is it that when it comes to our festivities, they don't share, they don't ape, they don't look at us, they don't imitate us? Why is it when the other way around happens, respected friends and elders, then it is like normal today? On a separate note, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu tells his students that why is it that y'all are quoting from the Ahl Kitab? Why do y'all quote the verses from the books of the Torah and Injil and from the Christians and Jews? He says, Fala wallahi, by the qasam of Allah, I never saw any one of them asking you about what you have in your book, and what you have is haqq. But you are looking at what they have in their book. The exact same thing applies to us, respected friends and elders. We don't see them imitating our practices and our festivities and our Eids. Why is it that the other way, the opposite has become the norm? Whereas our way is the way of haqq, respected friends and elders. Ours is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way of Jannah. And their path and their way is the way of Jahannam. On these days and nights, respected friends and elders, this verse should be in front of us, that we need to control ourselves. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّ. To fear that we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to answer for our deeds. ونهى النفس عن الهوى. And then hold back ourselves, restrain ourselves from following that desire and giving in to that temptation and opportunity. The biggest thing we need, respected friends and elders, for the next week or two is to hold ourselves back, to resist that temptation, which is becoming more and more difficult day by day. Man's control over his nafs is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. At every time some opportunity presents itself of sin, we are prepared to give in. But on the other hand, respected friends and elders, if we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at heart, and this thought that we are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Rabbul Izzah will protect us. Allah will protect us in this dunya. Allah will protect us in the akhirah as well. There are so many incidents of people who were faced with such opportunities, but they restrained themselves, they held themselves back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repaid them in this dunya also, and inshallah in the akhirah as well. Generally in these days that are coming, there are two types of challenges. One is a challenge on a man's wealth. Where are you earning your wealth from? How are you earning and how are you spending it? Because when we spend on these parties, when we spend on these shows, etc., this is also haram. We have to answer for spending that wealth in the haram avenue as well. And the second is the protection of a person's chastity. Protection against zina, against intermingling, against adultery, etc. In the past, there have been several incidents of people who watched what they consumed and how they consumed. And we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repaid them in this dunya. And there were those who restrained themselves from haram and zina when the opportunity presented itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repaid them in this dunya. Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Baqi rahimahullah's incident is very, very famous. He says, I was living in Makkah, and time came upon me when I was very, very, you know, I was in a very poor condition, and I had nothing to go by. فَأَصَابَتْنِي فَاقَةٌ شَدِيدًا. Extreme poverty came over me. A time came, I had nothing to eat also. So he says, I said to myself, if I'm going to remain in my room, I may die of hunger. I'd rather go out and do something and look for something, see how I can maybe find some food. So he says, I leave my room, and then I find a small purse on the side of the road. Looked to be very valuable. I picked it up, I bring it home. And when I open it, I see that it seems to be a very valuable and very exquisite necklace inside this purse. And he says, hardly any time passed, and I heard an old man calling outside and announcing that any person who returns to me my purse, I'll give him 500 gold coins. 500 gold coins for that person who returns this lost item of mine. So he says, I call this person inside, I ask him to describe what he lost. And he gave the ideal description of the purse also, the tie that was used to tie it as well, the necklace that was inside, the number of pearls, etc. So he says, I was convinced that it did belong to him, so I handed it over to him. When I gave it to him, he wanted to give me that 500 gold coins. Now this imam, if it was me and you, respected friends and elders, we would think it to be our haqq and our right, that I return this person's item. He ought to see me right. He ought to be giving me something. Plus he was in this condition of need, a dire condition. But he tells this person, I can't charge you for this. This is yours. It was my haqq and it was a haqq on me. It was only binding on me and wajib on me to return this to you. I can't charge you for fulfilling this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he refused to take that 500 gold coins. That old man insisted, and again he refused. And then life continued, and alhamdulillah, this person didn't pass away because of poverty or hunger. He says, life continued, and the time came, I had to leave Makkah. And I traveled by sea. Our ship, our boat sank, and everybody drowned besides myself. I managed to hold on to some plank. And after a few days at sea, I was washed up onto the shore of some island. I wandered around that island, and I found a masjid. So there were Muslims residing there. I used to remain in the masjid. And he says, I used to sit and read Quran. When the people saw me reading Quran, then they said, oh Shaykh, you know Quran, teach us Quran as well. So now he opened his madrasa, and because of that they began to care for his needs as well. Some ulama, after when quoting this incident, quoted under the title, Hal Jaza'ul Ihsan Illa Al Ihsan. Allah says in Surah Rahman that the reward for doing good is nothing else but good. You do good and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do good to you. So he had done that good in Makkah. He done this man this favor. Rather he fulfilled that person's haqq on him and returned the item to him and took nothing in exchange for it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing his ihsan on him. Now Allah is caring for him. He says, after a few days, I found some pages of Quran in the masjid. So I began to read from there.
So when they saw me, they realized, they said, Shaykh, that means you know how to read and write. Teach our children how to read and write. So to say, he opened his school. He says, then they began to give me, like a salary from there as well. Time went along, they grew attached to this person. So they tell him, Shaykh, we want to get you married here. And we have one yatima, she's got no father. But walaha shay'un min al-mal, she's got some wealth also. So initially he refused, he says, I got no need to get married. They forced him, he agreed. Then he says, falamma zaffuha ilayya. When they brought her to me on that night, the night of marriage, and that's the time a woman adorns herself the most. In her entire life, she won't beautify herself like she would beautify for the night of marriage. So when she came, instead of admiring her own personal physical beauty, his eyes fell on her neck. And his gaze remained fixed on her neck. So the people around him say, Ya Shaykh, kasarta qalba hadihi al-yatima. You have broken her heart, she's a yatima and you're breaking her heart. You're not admiring her beauty, you're looking at the necklace around her neck. So he tells him, wait, hold on, let me tell you what happened. And then he tells him, this was the exact same necklace he returned to an old man several years ago in Makkah. So when he said this, they all said, Allahu Akbar, out of happiness obviously. So he asked them, explain yourselves, why Allah is screaming takbir? They say that man to whom you returned this necklace was the father of this girl. And when he returned from that Hajj trip of his, he would tell us, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُسْلِمًا إِلَّا هَذَا. In this whole world, in all my travels, I never saw a real Muslim but this man, the man who returned to me my necklace without taking a cent in exchange. And then he would make dua. This old man used to make dua. Allahumma ajma' baini wa baina. Oh Allah, let me meet this person one more time in my life. Kay uzawwijahu bibnati. So I can get him married to my daughter. So he says, subhanallah, Allah accepted his dua also, and today you are marrying his daughter. So he says, and I married her. Allah gave me two children also from this wife, two sons. But then as time went along, she had passed away. But after she passed away, then a portion of that necklace, now a quarter of that necklace came to me as inheritance. So the same necklace he could have kept, respected friends and analysts. He could have justified and said, you know what, I'm in need also. That person can announce he lost it, but he could have taken it and put it in his pocket. But he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did what was right. And he gave it back to the original owner. Like when we face situations like this, respected friends and analysts, the temptation of overcharging someone, the temptation of lying and making that extra buck, the temptation of somehow earning wealth through a means that is shady, that is haram maybe, that is not permissible. Here he held himself back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him part of it now back as inheritance, halal for him. And then he says, those two children of mine also passed away. That entire necklace came now into my possession. I became the sole owner of that necklace through halal means. And then he says that old man, who would have been his father-in-law, he wanted to give me 500 gold coins as a reward, and I refused it for the sake of Allah. He says, I sold this necklace thereafter, not for 500 gold coins, not for 5,000 or 50,000, but for 100,000 gold coins I sold it. That's how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, respected friends and analysts. So hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan. We do good to the next, Allah will do good to us. We restrain ourselves from haram. If it is muqaddar, if something is muqaddar and destined, respected friends and elders, then it is insan's choice whether he takes it through haram or through halal. He could have got this necklace through haram, kept it with him and not returned it to the rightful owner. But he did what was right and it was destined for him, so it came to him. Maybe after a while, but it came, and it came through halal sources. That's exactly the mindset a believer is supposed to have, respected friends and elders. That when these temptations we are faced with these temptations, we should understand that if it is destined for me, then I must acquire it through halal source and not through haram. One alim was mentioning an incident of a person in Syria in those days, several centuries ago. He was a cloth merchant. And his business wasn't really taking off in Damascus where he resided. So somebody suggested to him, why don't you go to the Roman Empire, to the Greeks, and maybe try there. Sometimes you might fetch a higher price for your cloth. So he went over to the Greeks, to the Christians, and he opened a small shop, and he began to sell. And mashallah, he began to sell at a good profit. A time came one day, a young woman came with her mother into the shop to buy some cloth. He says that I was attracted to this woman. So I sold them the cloth that they wanted, but I gave them a discount. The next day she came again to buy again. Again I gave a discount. Like that two or three times it happened. And then I approached the mother. I said, maybe you are noticing that I have grown fond of your daughter. Why don't you make an arrangement for us that we can meet, name your price, and let me spend one night with her. Let me spend some moments with her. They agree for 50 gold coins. So he prepares that 50 gold coins and he gives it to them. That night, this woman is brought and given to him. He says, I was residing next to the river or the ocean, and I had the rooftop also. So I had prepared the meals and everything was prepared and laid out. After we ate and we went to bed, he says, then this thought came to me. Firstly, he paid already, respected friends and elders. Now he's nobody else there besides himself and this woman with whom he intends to make zina. But he says that this thought came to me. And he says that, أَمَا تَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ اللَّهِ Aren't you shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aren't you scared? That you are, firstly, you are a غريب, a musafir. Nobody else knows you here. Number two, you are تحت سما, under such a huge makhluk of Allah, under the heavens, the sky, which will testify against you. وَعَلَى بَحَر, right next to the ocean, which will also be a witness against you. وَتَعْصِ اللَّهَ مَعَ هَذِهِ النَّصْرَانِيَّةِ And you are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this woman, this Christian woman. He says, at that time, immediately in his heart, he says, Oh Allah, إِنِّي أُشْهِدُكُ Oh Allah, I make you witness that I'm making tawbah, and I'm not going to commit any wrong with this woman. He says, I turned the other side and I slept away. Next morning, obviously, she was very, very upset. This was like, you know, an insult to her. She was there, presented herself, and he didn't do anything, as if there was something wrong with her. So when he goes to the shop, he says, then this thought started coming into his mind. Like happens to many of us sometimes, that Allah saves us from some haram. Sometimes maybe we plan to do the wrong. There may have been some traffic jam. There may have been some and something that stopped us from getting there on time, and we missed that show or that party or that haram. Then we begin to rebuke ourselves inside. We begin to regret over the loss of that opportunity. So he says, next day my nafs began to tell me that who you think you are? You think you're some pious person, Junaid Baghdadi, or Sirri Saqati, rahimahumullah. You just any person. You could have done that wrong and committed and made tawbah thereafter. He says, then that mother came again to the shop, and she also came very angry that, what is wrong with you? Why did you do this to my daughter? So he says, no, I made an excuse and told him, you know what, I don't know what happened to me last night. Give me another chance. So the mother tells him, okay, but this time you're going to pay double, 100 gold coins. The same thing, he prepared that 100 gold coins, gave it to them. That night that woman came, after the meal, the same thought then comes to him. And then he says, Oh Allah, I make you witness that I'm not going to commit zina and haram with this woman. Next day again, the same thing happened. The same thoughts, he says. That mother again comes to the shop. Again he tells her, you know what, I don't know what happened to me. Give me another chance. So she told, this time she named a very high price. He said that this time you're not going to come. You're not going to get to her but with 1,000 gold coins. So he says, okay, then I need some time. I need some time to gather this money. People owe me money. And then as he was amassing and getting his money back paid to him, there was an announcement made that now the truce between the Muslims and the Christians has expired. If there's any Muslim in this country, he has got 1 week to depart and go back. So he says that immediately I forgot about that woman and I got engaged in collecting and, you know, recouping the debts owed to me. I collected that money, I made a very good profit in that land, and I went back to Damascus. He says, but when I got back, that grief was with me, that remorse, that regret, that you had that chance and you had that woman, you could have committed zina. You could have committed haram with her, or you could have, you know, so to say, enjoyed yourself. He says, then, to satisfy myself, I began to trade in slaves, female slaves. I used to buy and sell female slaves. In other words, and if I found some that I liked, I would keep for me, which was halal for him. He says, as time went along, one day, the governor of Damascus wanted a slave girl, and he was a known slave girl seller. So then they came and they chose one from him. The price was 100 silver coins, 100 dirhams. But when they checked in the royal treasury, there was only 90 dirhams left. So then the governor tells them that go and pay him the 90 dirhams and tell him that we also have slaves by us. So for the 10 dirhams, he can come and choose whichever slave he wants. So then he agreed, he went, he looked in those slaves and he saw this very same woman. The same woman who he had the opportunity of committing zina with, doing haram with, she is now there as a slave. He says, no, I want this woman. So they obligingly gave it to him, or gave her to him. When he brings her home, he asks her, do you remember me? She couldn't remember him, she couldn't recognize him. Then he reminds her of that incident. And then he tells her the details. that on that night these thoughts came to me, that how can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm a musafir under the sky, a great makhluk of Allah. So therefore I didn't commit that wrong with you. But today Allah has given you to me for 10 dirhams. At that time I gave a 50 gold coins, then 100 gold coins, and then you all named 1,000 gold coins, but that was haram. Today Allah, I held myself and I protected myself from zina with you. Allah gave you over to me halal, and that too for 10 silver coins, for 10 dirhams. She immediately then makes tawbah, and she also accepts Islam, and recites the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then he marries her also, and he gets children from her also. A time came when the war ended, and then there was an agreement between the Muslims and the Christians. If anybody has any slaves of each side, then they must return them. So he says the Christian slaves began to be sent back to the Roman Empire, but my wife chose to remain with me. But she had married a soldier, so they had a record that she was missing. So they sent people to go and look for her. When they came to Damascus, they found her by me. I took them to the Qadi and I said, if she wishes to go, then I will let her go. But she herself mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me hidayat, and I have accepted Islam. I have married this person, I have children with him also. I don't desire to go back to the life of Christianity. So when the soldier from the Roman side was convinced that she was willingly choosing to stay, then she tells her, you know what, you may stay. He tells her, you may stay. But your mother sent one amanat for you. And she said that if I meet you, I must give it to you. And then he gave her that amanat and that bag or parcel, whatever it was. When they bring it back home, respected friends and elders, this person mentioned, this trader mentions, he says it was two bags of money. The exact same bags. The one I had, one had 50 gold coins. The other one had 100 gold coins. What he gave came back also, respected friends and elders, because he restrained himself. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. That person who fears standing in front of Allah, he fears he's going to have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And then he restrained himself from that desire. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannah, inshallah, is guaranteed in the akhirah. And in this dunya, Allah repays as well. Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari rahimahullah's poem was quoted by Shaykh Abdul Fattah rahimahullah. After quoting this incident, he quotes this couplet from Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari rahimahullah, who says, Jalla Rabbuna, our Rabb is so jaleel, our Allah is so great. Jalla Rabbuna, ayyu amilahu al-abdu naqdan, fayujazihi nasi'atan. Our Allah is too great, respected friends and elders, that a person deals with Allah in cash, and Allah must repay him on credit. No, Allah will repay him in cash, meaning in this dunya. As soon as a person is faced with that opportunity of haram, and he holds himself back, that is now dealing with Allah in cash. Immediately you gave him to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will repay you also in cash, in other words, in this dunya, respected friends and elders. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And this is that season where we can acquire this, where we have the opportunity of practicing on this, respected friends and elders. In these days, I plead to any person sitting here, if there was any such kind of a plan, any such intention, any such idea that I'm going to attend a particular party, I'm going to spend that Christmas Eve or the New Year's Eve in a particular place in haram, in vice, in wine and dining and sharab and zina, make this deed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now and hold yourselves back. Make this deed, oh Allah, I'm not going to go. Even if I purchase some kind of a ticket, even if I made some kind of bookings, but I'm going to a place of vice and haram, I want to now make tawbah. And oh Allah, I make you witness between yourself and Allah only, respected friends and elders. There's no need to announce it to anyone. Make this deed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us, respected friends and elders, and how Allah will give us in this dunya and inshallah in the akhirah. Keep this in front of us, respected friends and elders, that Allah is watching. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah doesn't forget. Whatever little good a person does, Allah is aware of it. Whatever little wrong also a person does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of practicing on these few words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to restrain ourselves, hold ourselves back from the temptations that we are facing on these days and nights, respected friends and elders. And Allah save all of us, the young, the old. Initially it used to be that the youth are the ones who are going towards haram. The youth are the ones who are tempted. Yes, that is still the case. But unfortunately even many grown-ups, because of peer pressure, because of the people we associate ourselves with, because of people in the business place, we are also tempted into haram. No, respected friends and elders, don't let them select your path for you. You select the path of Jannah. Don't let them drag you to the path of Jahannam. Don't let them decide for you. You decide for yourself that we want the path of Jannah. We want to hold ourselves back, ourselves, our wives, our children. And let's plan for that as well. Like we plan for so many other things. Let us plan, how are we going to keep ourselves occupied on these days? How are we going to distract ourselves from those temptations? And that will start by at least not even going anywhere near that kind of an environment. Not going anywhere near those places of vice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.